I have known people who have grown up as children in very closely bounded neighborhoods, some of them in rural sections of the country. And then when they grew up and went beyond the confines of their particular small neighborhood or small town, were quite surprised to discover that the whole world wasn't just like how they grew up, that there was a whole different, all kinds of differences and different way of seeing and being and ways of thinking, and and their horizons became much bigger. So in the same way, the practice of mindfulness is one of the functions is to expand our horizons and to realize that there are actually many more ways of how to be than how we think and how we perceive and how we experience ourselves than what we kind of necessarily grew up with or what we become habituated to. And to be able to step beyond or outside of the normal way of thinking, that your normal way of thinking, your normal way of perceiving, your normal way of conceiving who you are, opens up a wide range of potential that many people don't tap into. It shows us how relative many of the things are that, and conditioned, constructed, in many of the ways in which we take reality for granted or take ourselves for granted. And to be open to the possibility that there are new ways of experiencing what's important, new ideas of what's important, that there are new ways of seeing ourselves, understanding ourselves, understanding the maybe the purpose of our life, the how to experience oneself, how to experience the world, how to see the world, is part of the function of this path of mindfulness. And it's part of, it's quite helpful to do this because we're looking to see how we can be free, not dependent on anything, not clinging to anything in the world. And it's hard to become free of clinging if we assume that how we think, how we understand ourselves, how we understand the world around us, is just built into the structure of the universe. This is how it is. It's like someone who, they say that in their own hometown, no one has an accent, kind of thing, right? And, no, you know, I don't have it. Everyone else has an accent, not me. So you know, we don't see ourselves that well and see the conditioned nature and the assumptions we have. And so in terms of mindfulness practice, there's actually a variety of ways that the Buddha talked about how you can experience life, experience yourself. And many of us have only one way, or just a very narrow range. And one of the big switches is to switch from seeing ourselves through the framework or the filter, the lens of our thinking, our concepts, our stories that we have. And it's these stories and concepts are so deeply embedded in ourselves. We learn them sometimes with learning language as kids so that we don't even see them as being different than reality, that we don't see them as ways in which we paint reality, ways in which we project ideas onto reality in ourselves. And so to begin kind of stepping back and away from all the thinking we do, not because you have to stop it, but to learn how not to live in the middle of it, not to be so immersed in our thinking that we don't even know how thoroughly we're seeing ourselves through the lens of our thinking. is a very important part of this practice. And one of the means for doing this is to take a much greater interest in our bodies than most people do, our physical embodied experience. In all the different places I've practiced Buddhism, one of the common denominators of it all was the tremendous emphasis on embodiment, of somehow being grounded in our body, connected to our body, and in a certain kind of way, experiencing our world and ourselves through our body. Not as a rejection of anything else, but rather it's more like the foundation. Like you have a pyramid, and the foundation of the pyramid is this broad base that supports everything else. If you take the pyramid and turn it upside down, it's going to be wobbly and fall over. And so to have the embodiment being grounded in our body creates a very important foundation upon which emotions and thoughts and everything else can have its role. But if we turn it upside down and start with stories, start with thoughts, even start with emotions, it's not as stable. It's not as, doesn't give us as much access to wisdom and deeper understanding and a deeper sense of who we are in a fuller way. So the idea of dropping into our body is so important. And then we see our body through the lens of how we usually think or perceive. And many people have, it's not uncommon in our society to have people have a lot of some kind of feelings, ideas about their body being not quite what it's supposed to be, not quite up to snuff. Not quite, I don't know where that expression comes from, but not quite, you know, ideal. Something is too big, something is too small, something is too this, too that. And so there's a sometimes tremendous amount of violence that gets done towards ourselves on these judgments and concerns about this and that and our bodies. And when we compare our bodies with other bodies, and a lot of human suffering comes from this comparison. And that's to experience our bodies through the lens, the framework of our stories, our thoughts, our ideas. And that's one way to do it. But there's a whole other way of experiencing the body. And that is to go deep inside, below the layer of thoughts and stories and comparisons and judgments. Not that we can easily stop them, but to drop deeper into a deeper intimacy to our body. And there in that intimacy, begin perceiving, sensing, experiencing the body's experience of itself. And the body's experience of itself is always present moment experience. And the body's experience of itself is not a story. It's sensations. So to do an exercise of this, gently close your eyes. And this is an exercise that points to a way of perceiving, of being, that for some of you might be new. And as you're sitting here, bring your attention to your right hand. And feel the right hand's experience of itself. What that means is to somehow not be in the control tower where you're thinking about the hand or looking down at the hand with the mind's eye, but you're allowing the nerves in the hand to register the sensations that are there. And in the right hand, there might be tingling and vibration, warmth and coolness. There might be hardness and softness. There might be a different set of sensations or strength of sensations in the palm of the hand than in the back of the hand. The fingers have their own kinds of sensations. And what it would be like to, kind of like you're listening to a sound far in the distance and you let the mind become really quiet so you can hear the faint sound. Let your thinking mind become quiet so you can really sense and feel the hand's experience of itself. There might be some subtle aches. There might be some subtle pleasures in the hand. You might be aware of how the sensations of your hand vary, jump around, come and go. For a few moments more, just hand. A new way of being with hand. It's not stories and judgments and ideas of hand, but the immediacy of the hand's experience of itself. And then calmly, with ease, with no hurry, gently bring your attention. Switch it from the right hand to the left hand. And do the same thing there and feel the sensations of the left hand. Prioritizing the hand's experience of itself. And you might still be a little bit in the control tower, but the emphasis now is to see if you can switch the percentage of attention, so a greater percentage of awareness is taking in the sensations of your left hand, independent of stories and thoughts and attitudes, just the sensations themselves, just the hand itself. And as you feel the sensations of your left hand, there might be at times when the idea of hand disappears. Hand is a concept. And without the concept of hand, the sensations that are buzzing and tingling and vibrating in the hands kind of maybe don't have boundaries. Boundaries of the hands disappear or become diffuse. And there's a kind of space or spaciousness around those sensations in that area. And now, experimenting with how you can do this calmly and relaxedly, in a calm, relaxed, easy way, softly in the mind, bring your attention to that part of your body that has the strongest sensation right now. Maybe the contact against your seat or sensations in your back or your knees. Maybe it's still the hands. And in the area of your body that has a stronger sensation now, see if you can do the same exercise. That area of your body, how does it experience itself? The simplicity of the sensations in that area that might include the strong sensations, but without the story or prediction or attitude about it, without the concepts and ideas, but just to let it be itself. It's allowed to exist, has permission to be just as it is. And allow yourself to feel and sense that part of the body. And the chances are that if you're intimate with those sensations, even the strong ones, that they're not really solid or completely continuous, but they kind of dance around, buzz, come and go. Your attention touches some aspect of it and then doesn't. And see if you can relax your body and mind and relax into that place in your body where the sensations are strongest. If they disappear in that area, go to the next strongest. And without concepts and ideas of body, those sensations are also just floating in space. Lots of room, no clear, sharp boundary. Lots of space for things to be, sensing and feeling. And now, calmly in a relaxed way, an exercise in seeing what ease you can bring to this. Easefully switch your attention to the part of your body where you experience breathing. It might be in the belly or the chest or in the nostril or all of the above. And in that area of your body where you experience breathing, do the same exercise of allowing whatever sensations there are there, including the sensations that come with breathing, allow them to just manifest themselves. Let there be an intimacy. So you're not thinking about it or seeing it from the control tower and not experiencing breathing through the filter of what should be happening. Whether or not you're concentrated or able to do it. A shift from the neighborhood of thinking and shoulding to the neighborhood of sensing and feeling. Almost as if you're sitting in the middle of your body breathing. Maybe as you exhale, to let go of your thinking and let go into sensing. Letting go and dropping into the body feeling, the body sensing. as if the sensations of your body breathing are allowed to be left alone to be themselves and to show themselves without you having ideas or having shoulds or even trying to accomplish anything. Just sensing and feeling the body breathing. And even the idea of breathing can recede, and it's just individual sensations coming and going, jumping around, the dance of sensations. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Whatever wants to show up, the intimacy, a closeness, feeling. Not dependent on your thoughts and ideas. Independent of your judgments. Perhaps even independent of attitudes of for and against you might be having. Just the body sensations, trusting the body, trusting the sensations as they appear in the body, as if all you need to do is to keep coming back and sensing and feeling, riding the rhythm of sensations as you breathe. And then finally, continue doing this with the breathing, but if some other sensation in your body becomes more compelling, stronger, then see if you can do the experiment of switching your attention calmly, relaxedly, to the place where the strong sensations are. And see if this new paradigm, this new way of being, of just sensing and feeling that part of your body, and do that for as long as it seems right. And then when you seem like it's right to switch back to the breathing, calmly and relaxedly begin again with breathing to the intimacy of the sensations in the part of your body where you experience breathing, sensing and feeling. Just the body and the body's experience of itself. taking a few moments to feel the stillness and silence of the room. And then with the support of that stillness and silence, to feel intimately the experience of body. The body breathing. The body sensing. Perhaps allowing the thinking mind to also become quieter, stiller. So that in the stillness and silence, the spaciousness, there's the intimacy of the body experiencing itself, or the body sensations manifesting, showing themselves. And if there's anything that seems to be taking you away from the body breathing, from the body, in that relaxed and easy way, be aware of it by clearly recognizing, thinking. Clearly recognize what that distraction is. And see if that clear recognition can have some qualities of relaxation, ease, calm. Not alarmed, not concerned. Just clearly recognizing. And then calmly opening up again to the experience of body breathing. And as I ring the bell to end the sitting, rather than immediately going into your thoughts and shifting, hear the sound of the bell, but let that be the body's listening, the body's experience of sound. So, in the different ways that we can experience our lives or know our lives or perceive our lives, these two ways that I've mentioned in this sitting, quite important for the practice of mindfulness. One is the sensing, the experiencing, the intimacy of sensing and feeling our experience by how the body experiences something, independent of what we think it should be or independent of our interpretation of it. And to keep coming back to feel from the inside what's going on in the body is powerful and liberating and gives us access to information and wisdom that you're not going to have to be in touch with if you're thinking about all things all the time. The body is not a dumb place. Your body's and your mind is, that's where your smarts are. The body is actually very important connection to so much depth in ourselves. So to train ourselves and to wake up in the body, sensing and feeling, is one of the ways to begin shifting out of, some of the neighborhoods we live in into a bigger world or wider world or freer world. And the other way that I mentioned just briefly was the clear recognition. And it can be particularly useful when something distracts you or pulls you into its orbit and you're caught in something, whether it's thinking or some emotion or even pain in the body, and to be able to kind of turn the kind of the mind's gaze, the gaze, and just really see it and find out that magic spot where the recognition of what's happening is clear and emphatic enough that you kind of sense that you're observing it from a place in the mind that's untroubled by what it's recognizing. So if you're thinking a lot, it would be to recognize your thinking and not be bothered that you're thinking, not be troubled by it. Just all thinking is happening, thinking. But it might take a while to find that place of that clear recognition that's not troubled. Just, thinking. Or some strong emotion. Is there some place inside of stability, of calm, or untroubledness that can even kind of clearly recognize, I'm troubled with all my emotions? Oh, troubled. Troubled. So one of the techniques in Vipassana is this clear recognition to support it is to use what's called mental notes or labels. And there's kind of a way of doing it a little bit more emphatically, a relaxed mind, an easeful mind. But, you use the label, the note thinking, if thinking is going on, thinking. Or if you're really troubled by something, troubled. And you say it kind of calmly and try to do it calmly. And, troubled. Sometimes it's interesting to watch your mind and, you might say, oh, troubled. That's not calm. That's like you're caught. You are troubled. But see, can you find that place? Because there is a place in your mind. It's part of who you are. It's your birthright. There is a place to be able to recognize something from a calm, peaceful place. And so, troubled. I'm troubled. 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 How do I know trouble? Just know it. Where's that place of just recognizing trouble, that I'm not troubled about being troubled? troubled. So it's kind of experimenting, kind of finding your way, until maybe at some point you see the clear recognition, oh, that's what's happening. And in the recognition, you're not troubled. And then maybe you go back to feel and sense and feel and sense. And the last thing I'll say, it's quite powerful to keep composting everything back into the body. Whatever is happening, how's that, what's the felt sense of that in the body? Feel in your body, independent of your judgments, your thoughts, your stories, your shoulds and shouldn'ts, what it means, independent of our identification with it, the way we take it to represent who we are. It says something very important about me that I should have whatever's happening. Keep it so simple. And one of the characteristics of this practice is radical simplicity. To really be in the present moment with a radical simplicity of just what's happening in the moment, the sensing, the recognition. And then as you do walking meditation, it's a wonderful way of doing mindfulness of the body. And to keep coming back into your body and sensing the feet as you walk, the legs as you walk. There's something about the rhythm of sensations that sometimes make it easier to stay present than if something gets fixed. So that's one of the reasons why there's some emphasis on the breathing, because the rhythm and changing and the cycle of the breath, it makes for more, can make for more relaxed concentration than if you have a fixed point that's unwavering, just to kind of hold something. So same thing with the feet when they're walking, is that the cycle of alternating sensations, there's something about riding the waves of those and sensing it that allows for, hopefully allows for a more relaxed, deeper concentration than when we get kind of fixated on something with a concentration. So the walking is actually quite useful in giving yourself over to that as well. So today is when we start the cycle of practice discussion. So by now, I think almost all of you have signed up for a meeting either today or tomorrow. If you haven't, you need to do it this morning. Maybe when you finish this sitting, go down and sign up. I think that tomorrow, where are you meeting? What room? 100. So Andrea is in room 100, which is, if you go past the manager's office and on the right of it, past the elevator and keep going around counterclockwise, you come to room 100. There's arrows and signs. And then room 1, where Tara is, will be in the main room there, where next to the manager's office, the big community room. And I think Tara shifts in the afternoon, right? So anyways, there's some shifting. So those are the two rooms we meet in, and I'll be meeting in one of them too. So that's where they are. If you're not sure, you can just be near the room beforehand. So near room 100, just be, there should be a chair in the hallway there, and just be in the chair waiting, and you can come in. And you can come in when the person in front of you comes out. And so here we are. Enjoy the day, and maybe this more kind of rainy weather will help with the intimacy of the day. Be cozy with yourself. Enjoy the day. Thank you.